It is good that we are here. It is good that we have come here on this Sunday to gather as a community of faith before the altar of the Lord to give Him worship, to enter into the mysteries of our salvation in communion with us gathered here in this physical church, but also in communion with Catholics spread across the globe and with the communion of saints in heaven. This is such an important time for us to be here in support and to benefit from the grace that God bestows upon us, especially through the sacraments. We recognize that during this current time in our community, our state, nation, and world, that there are many circumstances that are maybe impeding us. I think the big thing that may be on many people's minds is that of the coronavirus and what it does to our community, the ways in which it is affecting us, maybe in a very real way for all parents with school-aged children who have to figure out what they're doing for the next 6 weeks, for teachers and principals and school staff, figuring out what is to take place, for people in healthcare, as they brace themselves for what is to come, unknown as it is. And we hear that the ways in which we as a community at large can contribute to the common good is to do what we can to slow the spread of disease. We use terms like social distancing or isolation or quarantine. And these can be especially difficult because precisely in those moments when we feel the need for community and companionship, we are told that those normal means to find support may be taken away from us. As people of faith, there may be a certain irony to this all, because we can consider two themes that are drawn out of our gospel reading today. The transgression of boundaries and water. For a couple of weeks now, we have been coming to church with empty holy water fonts. And if you're like me, a creature of habit, I try to stick my fingers in holy water fonts and they come up dry. And it's a little irksome, a little twinge. But yet our Lord in our gospel today, He speaks about this living water which wells up to eternal life. And on this Sunday especially, we may be especially saddened that we cannot have this reminder of the living water in our churches. This reminder of the water of baptism. A second theme that we may consider and feel is being undercut by the circumstances of our current day is that the fact that Jesus passed through boundaries, barriers, in order to reach and literally touch people. We hear stories about how He touched the untouchable people, the lepers, and gave them healing. How He was criticized for dining with tax collectors and sinners. In our gospel today, putting aside all the taboos associated with a Jewish man speaking with a Samaritan woman. And as Christians, we are edified by the example of Christ, and we seek to do something similar. But yet we find ourselves asked to keep our distance, to not touch people, to stay away if we are sick, or if we're worried if we have symptoms. And it seems we are asked to do precisely the opposite. I know for me, myself, I find that struggle internally. As making the conscious choice to try to preserve myself for ministry, to serve the sick and the poor, I'm limiting my physical contact to only those rituals so that I will be well enough to lay hands on the sick and to anoint them. That means practically I'm abstaining from shaking hands or giving hugs or holding babies, and that is something that for me is a bit of a sacrifice. But I think in all this, we may be asked to do similar sacrifices. Not necessarily for our own health, which is important, but also as a contribution to the health of our community overall. Recognizing their contribution to the good is to slow the spread of disease. What are we then to do during this time as people of faith, How can we perhaps find ways to grow in virtue during this time? I'll suggest a few ways. First, there are ways in which we can practice our faith, the virtue of faith. What do we believe? Maybe the next time we come to an empty holy water font, we can profess our faith in the power of baptism and its indelible character. Jesus speaks about this water welling up to eternal life. In our first reading, we hear prefigured this water with the water being flowing, gushing forth from the side of the rock to bring hydration and drink to the thirsty in the desert. Even though we may not be able to dip our fingers in holy water, we profess and believe that God has immersed us in the saving bath of baptism, giving us this living spring leading to eternal life, the gushing forth of the Holy Spirit, which allows us to exercise charity and remember that we are united with Christ through all things. Perhaps when we find ourselves experiencing the pain or the discomfort of social distancing, or find ourselves having to abstain from coming to Holy Mass or interacting with others because we are ill, we can reunite those particular sufferings with Jesus, who himself experienced the depths of isolation. We can imagine the radical turn of events in which Jesus experienced the intimacy of the Last Supper on Holy Thursday, and by the end of the next day, experienced betrayal, abandonment, torture, and death. He who was once in the midst of his beloved disciples saw them, to a man save one, abandon him upon the cross. Let us unite ourselves with Jesus, knowing that our Lord, who took on flesh, desiring to be among us, is close to the brokenhearted and lifts up those who are crushed in spirits. Bolstered by our faith, we can also practice charity in a particular way. While the normal means in which we may practice hospitality may be kind of closed off to us or discouraged, we nevertheless have other avenues to express our gentleness, our compassion and concern for one another. While we may not be able to shake hands or necessarily, we can definitely have use of our eyes to make eye contact with the people before us and to say that I see you. I see you as a human person worthy of love, and I receive you. We can be attentive to the ways in which we use our ears to be attentive to people as they share their troubles or their concerns, to mirror back to them what they are saying so that they know that we have heard them. And for us to consider that when we engage in conversation with people, it is not simply for us to fulfill our own social need, but for us to be available in love for the other. When we are not in the presence of other people, let us be attentive in a special way to remembering those who, members of our community, may rely on our parish for their human family. Those people who are alone, isolated, widows, widowers, without normal other friends. Perhaps we can consider to call them if we have their information, to send them a text. For our loved ones as well, we can remember to reach out to them during this time. All the while we are practicing charity in creative ways, recognizing that we're following the example of Christ, who demonstrated his thirsting for the faith of the Samaritan woman in our gospel today, and continues to thirst for us, for our love, for our fellowship with him. And he desires that we be instruments and conduits of his desire to reach out to others so that others may be drawn into his communion. We approach our Lord today, who bursts through all manner of barriers, who gives us the beauty of the sacraments, who calls upon the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to reside within our hearts. Let us come to him and call upon him so that during this time in which people may be beset with worry, anxiety, stress, or fear, we may be beacons of hope and charity that come from our unity with Christ, who descended from heaven to be among us and be our Savior.